Amen. Father, we thank you that your presence is with us. Lord, you're present in the word. You're present in the worship. You're forever present with us, Father. And I thank you for that today. And Lord, I look to you, Lord, that this word will go out under your anointing. That, Lord, we may pick up the important points and remember them and put them into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. I've named today's word, relationship with God. What does it mean to have a relationship with someone? Well, Andrew and I have been in relationship for, wait for it, 54 years. And if I don't know how he ticks by now, and if he doesn't know how I tick by now, then there's a problem. There's no communication. But, you know, I know pretty much where he's at, what he's doing, and what he's thinking, and I'm sure he can say the same for me. So how did all that come about? It came about through relationship over those 54 years. And it's the same with God. We get into relationship with God by having an awareness of his presence. Because where is he? Where's God? Tabs, yeah. He's in here. When Jesus comes into our hearts, the relationship begins. And he's in here. And he's transmitting to us. And we need to listen to the fella in the cellar, because he's the one who's telling us what to do. And it's tuning in to the Spirit of God within us. It's about shutting out the clamour, the noise that's going on around us. The devil likes us to get in noisy atmospheres so that we can't hear. You know, I hate it when I go in shops and there's loud music on. I look for the first exit and I'm gone. I'm not going to buy anything when I'm being clamoured with music. Not usually very nice either. It means quietening our spirit and shutting out the noise, tuning in to this still small voice and listening to what he says. Psalm 46 and verse 10. In the message it says, step out of the traffic. Get away from the busyness. Take a long, loving look at me. I'm your high God, and I'm above politics, and I'm above everything. Amen? And the NLT version says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted amongst the heathen, and I'll be exalted throughout the earth. He's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords, and we've exalted him today and put him in his rightful place. Let's get with the program. Amen. Amen. Relationship means spending time in his word and learning to know how he works. That's really important. Relationship is vital to our growth. We can't grow if we've no relationship with God. Andrew and I, our marriage would never have developed had there been no relationship. It's about communication, it's about listening, it's about speaking, it's about knowing when to be silent, it's about knowing when to speak. But if we don't have relationship with God, all we've got is religion. And what does that do? Nothing. It just causes wars and aggro and friction. That's religion. I'm talking about relationship, and that's where we're at, and this is what every one of us must have if we're going to grow and develop in God. We need to get this one fact established. We need to get everything comes into perspective when you know this. God is the greatest force in the universe. Amen. Can I have a loud amen?
Amen.
Amen. And what he says goes. Amen. These men can prat around all they want, but what God says goes. His word is the final authority. Amen. I love that because it gives me such confidence when I look at politics and I think, good Lord, what a bunch. And God's saying, they're not in control. I'm in control. And I thank God for that. The second thing we need to know is, how can I believe that God loves me? Do you know God loves you? I don't have a problem with it, but I thought there might be some here this afternoon that may have. But it doesn't hurt to go over a few things, does it? To re-establish some things that we think we know. He loves me, firstly, because he says so. That's real good authority to continue and believe. I want to look quickly at Psalm 139 in the New Living Translation. And the first verse says, O Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. Ouch, ouch, ouch. God knows everything about you. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. Really? Goodness me. Is he that intimately acquainted with me? You see me when I travel and when I'm at rest at home. You know everything I do. And verse 4, this blows you away. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Oh, you go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. And the promise translation is this. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow me behind to spare me from the harm of the past. Wow. You might have sowed some bad seed in the past. Well, God's there to break the curse. He's there to stop that bad seed coming up and having an effect on your life, because you're a new creation, you're born again. That was the old man, this is the new man. God protects us from the effects of what's happened in the past and from future harmful situations. We need to listen to his guidance. We need to listen to that still small voice that people say, I've got this gut feeling. Well, that's your spirit. He's talking to you. The fella in the cellar is talking to you. And you get this nagging voice. Listen to it. Because this voice will be telling you what you need to do. Because it's a still small voice. Don't shut it out. It might be saying, wait. But I don't like waiting. Wait. Don't react. Somebody's angry with you. How do you quench an argument? You don't react. You shut your mouth. He might be saying, don't panic. He might be saying, walk away. Stop thinking about it. The more you dwell on something, the bigger it gets. And the more it's amplified and the worse you feel. That's a weapon of the devil. And verse 6 says, all this knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's just too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you're there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, there your hand will guide and strengthen and support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I can't hide from you, because darkness and the light are the same to you. There's no hiding place from you. You know, God is light, And when he approaches, darkness has to flee. And you know how fast it has to disappear? Mighty quick, because God moves. The speed of light is 186,282 miles a second. That's how fast God is. Nothing in the universe known to man can exceed that speed. Wow. He's there in a minute. When you shout, he's there. He's got it. He's got you. He rescues you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Carol will have great experience of this when she was delivering babies. Yeah. Two interesting facts about your body. If you were to lay out the vast network of blood vessels from an average adult, they would stretch almost 100,000 miles. All those blood vessels are in you. Compare this to the Earth's circumference. The Earth's circumference is 25 miles. This means that your blood vessels, from just one person, could stretch around the Earth many times. Whoa, whoa, whoa. How marvelously are we made? It puts your mind out to grasp. It's difficult to actually grasp all of this, but this is what science has discovered. Your gut, your stomach, and your urine and all that part of your body is the only organ with its own independent nervous system. It does not rely on the brain. It's often referred to as the second brain because it can still function if it's cut off from the brain. Wow. Lord, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex, David said. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. And another fact is that the human brain is the most complex piece of matter in the universe. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. The message puts it like this: you watched me grow from conception to birth. God's concern for life begins at conception. And we need to get that well embedded in us. God says life begins the moment of conception. And this demonstrates that the mother does not have the right to do as she pleases with her own body, because God sees a separate individual in the womb. Amen? And that individual was made by God. And man cannot and must not destroy it. Verse 16 says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. What a great God we've got, an almighty God, an awesome God. Wow, wow, wow. And in verse 17, he says, how precious are your thoughts about me, God, David said. Your thoughts about me can't even be numbered. can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. And still, when I wake up, he's still with me. He's ever present, never absent, with us 24/7. And he wants us to be aware of his presence and communicate with him 24/7. Praise God. Our bodies are proof alone of the amazing handiwork of God in our lives. He created us in love for relationship with him. God wants relationship. That's why he made us. And that's his supreme goal. Some people say that our lifespan is 70 years. It's not. That was under the curse. We're not cursed. We go back to the flood. When the flood had gone, God said to Noah, your days shall be 120. Are we up for it, David? Under the new covenant, we're no longer cursed. Jesus broke the effects of the curse, and he gave us long life, because cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. The curse was 70 years, no more. Jesus broke the curse, and he said, go further, go further. And we go to, well, with an example there, 120. Psalm 91 says, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. And Psalm 92 says, my ears are filled with the sounds of promise. God's promised this, and this is a promise we need to keep, to claim. Good people will prosper like palm trees. They'll grow tall like Lebanon cedars, transplanted to God's courtyard. They'll grow tall in the presence of God. They'll be lithe and green. Wow! God doesn't want you to live to 120 years all crippled up, does he? He wants you to be lithe and green and full of life, fruitful in your old age. Let's stand on it. Let's quote it. Let's hit the devil with it, you know? His word gives life. And if we quote it and focus on it and meditate on it, it will give life to our mortal bodies. Psalm 91 has some wonderful, wonderful promises in it. But it says in the Amplified Version, all the promises of this psalm are to those who live under the shadow of his wings. It's very important to have a relationship with God and be under the shelter of his wings. And then you can claim all these promises. It says in Psalm 91 that they're intimately acquainted with him. Praise God, he allows us to be intimately acquainted with him. He wants us to be intimately acquainted with him. They abandon themselves to him. You won't do that unless you know you can trust him. Trust him. However many bumps in the road and bends in the road, trust him. Never take matters into your own hands. Wait patiently for him. He promised, he'll fulfill it. Those who trust in him, who are intimately acquainted with him, are at peace. They rest in his word and they give no place to fear. Amen, Louise. What does fear do? It goes... Fear is the power of sickness and disease, and it opens the door to every other negative force. That's why Psalm 91 says, fear nothing. Don't be afraid of disease that prowls through the darkness. So how can we overcome fear? By hearing what God says and keeping our eyes on his word alone. Doing that creates faith by which we will overcome all the works of the devil. If you know who you are, if you know that you know that you know, that there's no room for fear, because perfect love casts out fear. If you know how perfectly God loves you, hope has to disappear. Unbelief immobilizes into accepting the inevitable. Please don't ever accept the inevitable. That's never true for born-again believers. God has done all that he's going to do about our situation. We need to get in the Word, line up with him, create faith and believe him and see him work. Atheism offers no hope whatsoever. This to me is the daftest thing imaginable. Atheists simply bury their heads in the sand and deny the existence of God. Well, if I don't think you exist, I've got nobody to answer to. Well, you fool. It says in the Word of God, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's no more foolish thought in the whole wide world. Recently, as you're well aware, Andrew and quite a few others in the past 12 months have been under attack. And I just want to share a few things that I learnt or that happened in the course of these three months. When Andrew first had symptoms, God dropped these words into my spirit. Well, the first thing was, when he got the symptoms, what did I do? Well, I went to bed and I couldn't sleep, so that was a daft thing for the devil to do, wasn't it? So I got up and got my Bible and I read the Word of God. And God said to me, nothing will come of it. Okay, we've got his Word, nothing will come of it. That was actually from Isaiah 54, and the full verse said, if anyone attacks you, it's not from me, and nothing will come of it. I learnt at this point that we're not immune to attack, but God will turn our curses into blessings. Trust him, and he'll turn it around. This whole chapter is about being rebuilt. In Isaiah 54, the whole chapter is about being rebuilt stronger physically, spiritually, individually, in every area. And I believe that's what God is saying about us here. Those who have been through the mill in these past 12 months, this is about being rebuilt stronger, physically and spiritually, individually and as a family. What the devil meant for evil, God is turning for good. During this time also, God gave me Isaiah 61, and the verse that jumped out at me was this: because you got a double dose of trouble, your inheritance in the land will be doubled, and your joy will go on forever. That really put me on a higher plane. I immediately thought, having read all this, that when Andrew went to the doctors, he would say, there's nothing wrong. But that didn't happen. Uh-oh, we've got a bump in the road. What do I do? Stand. Having done everything, stand. 2 weeks later, he went to the hospital for tests. And again, I thought, they're not going to find anything. But that didn't happen either. Another bump in the road. Oh, no, God, you're testing me here. They found a small tumour on the wall of his bladder. And I went home and I said, but God, you said nothing will come of it. He said, you've been attacked. Okay, you know you've been attacked because there's evidence. But still, my word stands. Nothing will come of it. So 2 weeks later, he went into the hospital and they removed the tumour and they sent it for analysis. 3 weeks later, they confirmed that the tumour was cancerous, but it was the good type. There is no good type. Devil doesn't do anything good, does he? No. In other words, it was easily dealt with and would be removed and that would be the end of it. And during all this time, Mick said to me, and I can't remember it word for word, but I felt in my spirit, he said to me that God was going to restore Andrew and make him stronger. Something to that effect. I can't remember your exact words. I don't know if you can. There you are. Andrew would go from strength to strength.
You're going nowhere.
That's it. Yeah. Daniel from Romania rang Andrew in April, and he said this was about God rebuilding Andrew and making him twice as strong in anointing and ministry. Those two were confirmations of what God said to me when it all started. You know, when God says something twice, as Steve said last week, sit up and take notice, because it will surely happen. This week, in my quiet time, my reading was again from Isaiah 61. God's not letting go of this, is it? And I felt that God was saying this in respect of all of us. That we will see a double anointing, that we shall see increase in every aspect of the fellowship. Yokes will be broken. Fruitfulness, avenues into the community, restoration of all that's been stolen, joy instead of weariness, abundant release of favour and blessings. This will not just be a flash in the pan. It will be our eternal inheritance that will continue down the generations. And by that, I believe God is saying your children are coming to the Lord. Amen. These are the rewards of faithfulness and perseverance amidst drought in the wilderness. God's fully aware of our humanity, our weaknesses, our failures, our disappointments and inadequacies. He's intimately acquainted with all our ways. He knew us before the foundation of the world, and despite foreknowing our path, he's chosen us as vessels of honour to fulfil his purpose. Amen. From birth to now, he's ordained our footsteps. He brought Martha from Poland here. He's bringing us together, the body. He knows everyone that fits. We're all uniquely shaped and moulded by him. Every experience that we go through is divine preparation for his purpose here. This is relationship through which his love is developed, rooting and grounding us securely in him, because without him, we can do nothing. He's brought each one of us together in Harvest Fields, and he's fitly framing us to live and move as one, as we see our inheritance in the land doubled. Amen? Amen. God promised this building and it came to pass. Paid for, belonging to us. That was a miracle. He also promised to fill it, and that too will surely come to pass. Amen? Wait expectantly, for it will surely come and not be delayed. Amen? I just felt God was really, really hammering it home today. His purposes for Harvest Fields. Their plans are good. His promise stands. And no demon in hell is going to take any of us out before our time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.